So today we will continue the church series, the topical sermon, and today we will talk about the member covenant. For all and every kind of intimate relationship, one element that is essential is that intimate relationship needs a boundary, needs covenant. Without a covenant, without boundary, then it's just you cannot impose discipline, you cannot enhance the intimacy. And church happens to be that kind of intimate community. The Bible talks about church as with the metaphor of marriage. But church is even more intimate than marriage. Church is about body, the body of Christ, and we are members of that body. So without a covenant, without the boundary, it's just a marriage without a covenant, or a nation, a country without a border. So what is the border of a church? And I consider it as the member covenant. If you're in the covenant, you should stay in the covenant. Unless you move to somewhere else, unless you go to on the mission field. But as long as you are here, you do not quit. Even sometimes, it means to be painful. And intimate relationships sometimes are painful, or is painful, right? But it's the intimate relationship that molds us, that cultivates us. It needs patience. And patience, first and foremost, is sometimes can feel uncomfortable and painful. So this is actually the essence of church, or part of the essence of church. If you come to the church, are you ready to make the commitment to this community? You have the choice before you make a commitment. I will observe. I will stand out for a while. But once you hopped in, you join the church, you sign the community, sign the covenant, and then you are in. And God loves those who abide by the covenant, and God hates the covenant breaker. That might be a very strong language God hates, but it is in the Bible. So covenant is something very serious. So we today will talk about member covenant. So first I will just show you about the location of this sermon. This actually is a part of a series of sermons. No, it's okay. Okay. Now, this is, I was assigned with this sermon topic, and we just, maybe if you can read the script on the slide, can we just read together? Having received Christ as my Lord and Savior, and being baptized, and being in agreement with the Chinese Christian Church of Columbia, constitution and bylaws, policy statements, statement of faith, and vision statement, I now feel led by the Holy Spirit to unite with the CCCC church family. In doing so, I commit myself to God and to the other members to do the following. So this is a covenant, and covenant needs commitment. And commitment in God's eyes is serious. So, and actually the series is made up of a lot of sermons, and these are the five topics. The first one is, I will protect the unity of my church by acting in love towards other members, by building one another up, by forgiving and seeking reconciliation if necessary, by following the leaders. And second one is, I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for its growth and health, by inviting the unchurched to attend, by warmly welcoming those who visit, by supporting our global mission efforts. So these are all the things you have signed up. Do you realize that? Do you realize that? And the third one, I will serve the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts and talents, by being equipped to serve by my pastors, by developing a servant's heart, by working together as a team to further Christ's kingdom. And the fourth one, this is actually today's topic I was assigned. I chose to do it. Kunming gave me other five. Kunming gave me the five, and I chose the fourth. Because I thought this is the fourth Sunday. I will support the testimony of my church by attending faithfully, by caring for one another, by giving regularly, and by living a godly life. And the fifth one, Pastor Tom will do next week. I'm not sure, but I will live out the vision of my church by seeking to live as a disciple of Christ, of Jesus, by learning about God and the Bible, by growing in my spiritual walk with the Lord, by serving according to my spiritual gifts and talents. So these are the five sermons, five topics in this series. And also, these are all the things you've signed up. So the fourth one, the one I chose to do, is I will support the testimony of my church. I will support the testimony of my church. So, and today we will talk about four aspects. And as a pedagogical method, I will ask you to remember all these four. And as I go, through all these four, I hope that by the end of the sermon or the message, you will all remember them by heart. The first one is what? By attending faithfully, by caring for one another, by giving regularly, and by living a godly life. Four aspects. So now we go with the first one. By attending faithfully. You realize that we are in the middle range or the gray area. Our souls are in the gray area. It is sandwiched between something called being and nothingness. This is actually, when I do the research about the status of our soul, human soul, God in the Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God created a human being according to his image and likeness, and God breathed into Adam, and he became a living soul, right? A living soul. Living soul there, the Hebrew word is napash. And it is the same as the Greek word for human soul, which is psuche. Both the Hebrew napash and the Greek psuche carry the meaning of something in between. It is not completely being, neither is it completely nothingness. It is something in between. It is something called becoming. You're sandwiched in between. To the point that if you care about your soul, you exercise your soul in your lifetime in a certain way, you will achieve eternal life. But otherwise, you may fall into the fathomless abyss. You will fall into hell or pass into eternal torture. So, the time of this life is important. What you do what you committed to, what you learn, how you grow is of eternal importance. So this is life and death. And this is eternal life and eternal death. So for your soul to go upward, not to fall down, actually the Lord appointed something which is called church. Which is called church. And C.S. Lewis, in his Mere Christianity, once said, Christ works on us through all sorts of ways. But above all, he works on us through each other. Through each other. Through members of the church. Through the one sitting beside you. And you are in covenant with God and with each other. So you do not break away from the covenant easily. And John Wesley once said, the Bible knows no solitary religion. You cannot do marriage by yourself, neither you can do church by yourself. So it is communal, it is collective. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I showed you a picture about a lost fingertip. Remember that? Some of you might remember. And that, you can be like that fingertip. Either you are attached on a body and grow in a healthy manner. Or it can be cut off and who knows where it is right now. So this is about church attendance. This is about the body of Christ, how you grow, about your soul. So I urge you that in the future, if you go to college, please find a Bible study fellowship. Find a church. There might be a lot of a variety of denominational, different church Bible study groups of different denominations. You have the right to choose. And then you evaluate and you see which one suits you the best. I'm for sure you will not find a perfect one. There's nothing called perfect church in the world. You just find some group that fits you well and join the church or join the group by signing some covenant. Member covenant. Even if they do not have the practice of member covenant, you need to consider. Once you are in, you are in. You do not get out easily. So, we all need to be serious about the covenant, about in the church. Because if you, too loosely attached to the church, and no one can teach you, no one can edify you, no one can point out your mistakes, your errors. Sometimes, intimate relationship hurts. If you cannot sustain the hurt, you won't get out easily, you will not grow. You will not grow. And I understand that sometimes church does hurt. Some survey, there are some caregiver for Southern Baptist Church visitor who takes care of all the dropout pastors. Pastors for after serving a period of time, they felt burned out or they were hurt so badly that they stopped going to church or they stopped serving and they need to go to sabbatical or they need to go to some rehab, spiritual rehab center. So the caregiver, interviewed them one by one and asked them collective reasons. Why do you stop serving? 90% of them complained that they were hurt by the human relationship in the church. They were hurt. they were victimized. So church hurts sometimes. And I assume not only the pastors are hurt, the members sometimes can be hurt too. But that is, it's a given in the intimate relationship. We are not perfect. The people around us are not perfect. When imperfect people get together, hurts. It hurts. But you got to be in some kind of relationship, in the covenant, in the intimate relationship. Let's get back to the root of church. Why do you come to the church in the first place? Why do you come to the church? Or purely just because of it hurts? Of course not. Why do you come to the church? To feel good? To feel happy? That actually is not what the Bible tells about the purpose of attending the church. What is the purpose of attending the church then? We can learn something from a metaphor of marriage. When I was in seminary, I took a course on marital counseling. And the professor in the first class just opened up the lecture by telling us the purpose of marriage. He said, there are two kinds of purpose of marriage. The first one is for happiness. This is the secular purpose. If your marriage is for happiness, then you feel not happy, maybe at least once in a lifetime. You do not feel happy with your marriage. And you go to a marital counselor. And the secular counselor will tell you, if you're not feel happy, just get rid of it. You know, eventually that's the paradigm. But the professor also told us a very deep lesson, and I carried to the heart. Marriage is not first and foremost for happiness. Yes, it will give you deepest satisfaction. But at the same time, marriage, the purpose of marriage is for holiness. God created Eve to help Adam, to help him what? Not only for happiness. Basically, to help him to grow into the image and likeness of Christ, of God, godliness, holiness, to cultivate Adam, or mutually cultivate each other, to be like God. So if you want to grow, then you got to be edified. Sometimes you can be criticized, sometimes can be hurt. But it is for your good. It is for your good. Maybe sometimes you do not understand the purpose or intention of the person who make you feel uncomfortable or hurt you. But always remember, God is above everything. God observes, and He will make everything together, put everything together for your good. For your good. So this is actually the purpose of the church. Sometimes it hurts. It hurts. So it's just like family. Family is the place that satisfies you the most, yet it can sometimes give you pain too. So by attending church faithfully, you expect the pain, but not give up. Do not give up. It is about your soul, the eternal well-being of your soul. And it is about God's kingdom in this world. You know what? We need each other to, you know, to edify us, to edify each other. And the Bible actually says that we may spur one another. Do you know what is spur? If you live on a farm, you know what is spur. Spur is just a goad. It's just a poke in the animal, in the ox, and make it go faster, or whip the horse to make it go faster. It hurts. Spur. Spur. It hurts. Well, when you are corrected, when you are corrected by somebody else, it hurts, right? I remember, you know, I am not an English native speaker, and my pronunciation sometimes can be very weird. So I always been corrected by one of my daughters. She's waving her hand. She's waving her hand. And she even takes one, sit in one of my systematic theology class, not to learn the doctrine, but to take the role or write down everything I pronounced wrongly. And after the class, when we, you know, went back to home on in the ride, and he will bring out a piece of paper and tell me that, you know, Daddy, you pronounced this wrong, that wrong. Well, but you know what? Sometimes it's, you know, I admit perfectly. You know, sometimes, you know, once he told me, that, she told me that, you know, I said, Chicago statement of biblical inerrancy. And he said, no, you're wrong. Chicago should be pronounced as Chicago. And it turned out that both are right. And, but at this moment, up until this moment, I tried very hard, but I still cannot pronounce, I tell the difference between squirrel and squirrel. So when I say Dead Sea Squirrel, you'll see a four sea of dead squirrels. Dead Sea Squirrel. It's very difficult to pronounce to tell the difference, right? So if sometimes, you know, you feel humiliated, sometimes being corrected by your child, right? But it's for my good, right? And you know what? You know what? Someone across the Atlantic Ocean, you know, takes class from Christine, from my daughter, and, you know, pay her to correct the pronunciation. And she does it for me, for free. So it hurts. It hurts. But it's for my well-being. It's for goodness. That is exactly what's happening in your life. Church sometimes can be hurtful, but it's for your good. The purpose of God is always good. Even sometimes you have to go through the painful process. So edifying each other, care for each other, love each other, that is actually the meaning of by caring for one another. You edify other with a good intention. Not to show off yourself, but for that person's goodness, for his well-being, his or her well-being. So this is called care for one another. A new command I give you. Love one another. Yet at the same time, love means speak out truth. So church is not the place that you feel, always feel like spoiled. Always taking, you know, a lot of chocolates or ice creams. Church sometimes for real relationship. So you attend faithfully and care one another. And the third point is by giving regularly. By giving regularly. And the Bible tells that each one of you on the first day of each week. I think they give weekly, on a weekly basis. or this you can change it on first day of your month or on the first day of your year. Do you know that the Israelites in the Old Testament, they gave the first fruits to the temple? They brought the first fruits to the temple, which means the first portion of their harvest, they gladly brought to the temple to support the priests and to support the poor in the nation. So, it's the first fruit you give to God, not the leftovers. So it is important that you learn how to tithe or do the tithing from the very beginning of your life. Give what you have, not something, you know, not empty promises. Say, God, if you help me win the lottery, I give you half of them. No. Give your, you know, what you have already. Maybe it's just maybe $1,000. You only have $1,000, but give one-tenth. Give $100. And I noticed some of the pastor's kids, they were cultivated, or maybe their parents told them to do so, that they, on each and every Sunday, they give a portion in the offering box from the very beginning of life. That is a habit. Cultivate a habit of giving. It's very important. Do not wait until you earn your first $1 billion and give. When you have, you know, some petty cash for $10, you need to give $1. That $1 is of the same value with one-tenth of, you know, with 100 million after, if you get, you know, 10 billion or 1 billion. So tithing from now. So sometimes, once in a while, we need to reveal our financial status. Say, last year or the year before or in the past 5 years, how much did we earn and how much did we give? If you feel there is shortage, you owe something to the church or to the charity organization, or in Malachi says, if you do not do the tithing, you are something called robbing God. You're robbing God. So I remember when I was in Massachusetts, by the end of the year, sometimes the offering will spike. It's because some of the families, they do the calculation, and they said, well, we didn't give enough to the church. So they actually write a huge check. And sometimes, once in a while, we all need to remember it's time for us to give. So when I prepared this sermon, I actually examined myself. And I felt that I'm lacking of, you know, this integrity. So I wrote something and I did my job. It's not about talking about the Word of God. It's about practicing the Word of God. And God is faithful. In the Old Testament, God promises that if you give, God will open up the treasury house up above, and you'll rain all the blessings on you. I remember that is something actually we experienced as a family. When we were in Massachusetts, we purchased the church building for two times. And the church finance sometimes, the financial situation of the church sometimes gets very tough. And I, as a pastor, I need to mobilize or call up, you know, encourage the congregation members to donate. We build up the house of God, you know, purchase the church. And One time, there's a huge shortage of the church building fund, and we thought we were convinced, we were moved, by the Holy Spirit that we need to give something to the church or give our savings to the church. But we do not have, as a pastor, we do not have too much savings. So, but we do have some college education fund for my three daughters. And we just talked to our three daughters and say, is it okay for us? Do you have the faith in the future that if we donate all the education fund, God will take care of you? They were just 8, 9, 10, and they do not understand a thing. And they said, okay, yes, of course. And we did it. We emptied all the three accounts. And by faith. Now, I'm telling you that if you observe my family and see, I earn a very small salary, and my wife earns an even smaller salary. And my Shannon is in the art school in New York. And my Janie just want to go back to the north. I don't know why. The south is so good. But she just want to go north and pay out-state tuition right after we moved, 2 years after we moved out of Massachusetts. And she wants to go back to Massachusetts. That's just a flood, overwhelming financial responsibilities. But you know what? It's very, very miraculously. By the time their tuition bill, their living expenses are due, I don't know how, where the resources coming and pulling in, and I just cut a few big checks, and we do not even need to borrow any loans. I don't know why, but it is the faithfulness of God. If you trust in the Lord, you link your bank account with God's, God will take care of you. So give faithfully. Give faithfully. Give to the point that you feel the pain. No pain, no gain. If your soul is not pain, then your soul is not being edified. And I do not have time to go for the fourth point, living a godly life. That is, small things does count. And if you want to know this part, then you read a spiritual giant who just passed away. His name is Billy Graham. Billy Graham. You read about, for 60 years, more than 60 years, he served the Lord faithfully without any scandal. And how he handles sexual temptation, how he handles monetary issues, and you will learn a lot. So, the four aspects of collectively we build up the testimony of the church. We, by attending faithfully, by caring for each other, by giving regularly, and by living a godly life. These are the four aspects of the collective testimony of the church. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your precious words, that not only you give us the words, but also you give us the Holy Spirit, the living word in us, indwelling in us, to modify us and change us, transform us. We just thank you that you loved us so much that we want to follow your steps, and we want to commit ourselves to you, and we want to commit to each other. And help us, be with us. We thank you and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.